Welcome to Monday Morning Murder in the News with Alyssa Carroll.
Good morning, heathens. Happy Murder in the News Monday. How are my children? I hope you all had a good weekend. Thank you to all of you who wished me a happy birthday on Saturday. A lady never reveals her true age, but I will say that it is so very nice of you guys to think of me. I really appreciated that. That was very sweet. Also, if you can hear mowing and things in the background, listen, it's beyond me. I can't help it, okay? We're going to look past it. You know, mowing happens. So we're going to start today strong with a case coming out of Florida. That's right, guys. Coming from Fox8.com. Title reads, "Woman shoots interstate drivers, says God told her to because of the eclipse." That was according to Florida police. Bonifay, Florida. A woman checked out of a Florida hotel and told staff that she was going on a God-directed shooting spree because of the solar eclipse, then shot two drivers on Interstate 10 before being arrested and charged with attempted murder Monday, according to the Florida Highway Patrol. Taylan Nichelle Celestine, 22, of Georgia, entered the highway 115 miles from the Alabama border in the Florida Panhandle and headed west. Within 5 miles, she fired into a passing car several times, spraying auto glass and grazing the driver in the arm, the department said in a statement. She then fired at a second vehicle, hitting the driver in the neck. The driver was injured and treated at a hospital. Troopers stopped the woman after she drove for about 16 miles and found her with an AR-15 rifle and a 9mm handgun. She was arrested and booked into the Holmes County Jail. She was charged with attempted murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and improper discharge of a firearm. And then it says the Florida Highway Patrol didn't provide details about bail or Celestine's legal representation. That's messed up. And then that leads me directly into the next one, right? So the next one also comes from Fox 8, and the title reads, "Cat Blamed for Fire During Eclipse in Canton." So coming out of Canton, Ohio. A Canton woman told firefighters that one of her 37 cats was to blame for a kitchen fire sparked during a very rare total solar eclipse in Northeast Ohio. According to Division Chief Steve Henderson, firefighters were called out to the home in the 1600 block of 225th Street Northwest at 2:45 p.m. on April 8th, just a half hour before the moon perfectly aligned between the sun and earth to cast a shadow across parts of Northeast Ohio. When crews arrived, they said they found a woman outside of the home that said one of her cats turned on a burner on the stovetop. She also said that she tried to put the fire out with a towel but was unsuccessful. According to a press release, firefighters quickly extinguished the flames. While fighting the fire, crews found 37 cats in the home. All the cats survived, officials said, but several were given oxygen for smoke inhalation. Well, that's nice. I love to hear when they try to help the animals as well. Chief Henderson said one firefighter suffered minor injuries. The damage to the home and property is estimated at $9,000, according to a release. So, cat caused a fire during the eclipse. Kind of almost sounds like they're trying to summon the apocalypse, right? Cats are half in, half out. Those of you that have seen Constantine. But I digress. This article sent to me from CBSNews.com says Amanda Knox back on trial in Italy in lingering case linked to roommate Meredith Kircher's murder. Amanda Knox is like a whole situation, and there may be some of my younger audience that may not be as aware of who she is. If you want me to cover her, I will. There are tons and tons and tons of videos on her, podcasts about her. But she was, you know, the Italian government believed that she brutally murdered her roommate, and she always said that she never did. Okay, so coming from Rome, Amanda Knox, the American woman who spent nearly 4 years in an Italian prison after being convicted in 2007 of murdering her college roommate Meredith as they both studied abroad, was back on trial in Italy on Wednesday. Kircher, a British student, was found dead in her bedroom in the apartment she shared with Knox in the Italian city of Perugia. I apologize. She had been sexually assaulted and had multiple stab wounds. And if memory serves, this is kind of sidebar, her blanket had been thrown over her too. So Knox and her then boyfriend, Raphael, were convicted of the murder and depicted by prosecutors during the trial as sexual miscreants who'd killed Meredith in a sex game that went awry. But after flip-flop verdicts and with worldwide media attention, the two were eventually exonerated by a higher court in 2015. One conviction against Knox still stands, however. She was found guilty of slander for falsely accusing Congolese bar owner Patrick of killing Kircher. Knox worked part-time in this bar. It is that charge of slander that Knox is facing in the trial that opened Wednesday in Florence. Okay, so they're not saying that she killed the roommate again. It's a slander charge. I get it. So shortly after Meredith's murder, Knox, who was then 20, was subjected to 53 hours of interrogation without a lawyer or official translator. Eventually, during that process, she accused the bar owner of killing Meredith. Police typed up the statements, which she signed. But again, sidebar, and someone who did go to college for law, 53 hours of interrogation. She's worn down. She's so tired. She could be half hallucinating at this point. Depersonalization, derealization, anxiety. She doesn't know what they're saying. It's a different language. So when she said that she didn't know, she was just signing things, you know, because it was like, just stop. I think we can all have some empathy for that, right? So the article says, very soon after, however, she wrote a handwritten 4-page statement in English, casting serious doubt on her testimony to the police. Quote, in regards to this confession that I made last night, I want to make clear that I'm very doubtful of the validity of my statements because they were made under the pressures of stress, shock, and extreme exhaustion. See, that's what I told you. Not only was I told I would be arrested and put in jail for 30 years, but I was also hit in the head when I didn't remember a fact correctly, she said in the statement. It was under this pressure and after many hours of confusion that my mind came up with these answers. So she said she had flashes of blurred images of the bar owner in her mind, but added, quote, these things seem unreal to me like a dream. And she was left, quote, unsure if they are real things that happened or just dreams in my mind, has made to try to answer the questions in my head and the questions that I am being asked. So in 2016, the European Court of Human Rights declared that Knox's rights had been violated during the interrogation, you think? At the request of Knox's lawyers, Italy's highest court then annulled the slander conviction and ordered a retrial. The court also ruled then that the initial testimony typed up by the police would be inadmissible as evidence in the retrial. Yes. Only Knox's handwritten note can be admitted as evidence in the proceedings that opened Wednesday. Knox is being tried in absentia and is not expected to appear in person for the trial. Oh, I thought she was in Italy. Her attorney told Italian news outlets that his client remained in the U.S. as, quote, she is busy taking care of her two young children, one of whom was born recently. So it's basically because the bar owner spent 2 weeks in jail after being accused. So, I mean, that makes sense too, right? Anyway, update on Amanda Knox. Who knew? So we're moving on to the next article coming from WXII12.com. WXII12 News, Piedmont Triad. And the title reads, woman accused of trying to kill husband with poison in his coffee pleads guilty to lesser charge. I think I might have seen something about this on YouTube or something. Pima Pima County, Arizona. A woman in Arizona pleaded guilty this week to attempting to poison her husband's coffee every day for months. Court documents show. As part of a plea deal, Melody Johnson, who had been charged with attempted first-degree murder, pleaded guilty to two counts of the lesser felony charge of adding poison or a harmful substance to food or drink, according to the court minutes from the County Superior Court. She will face a maximum of 2 years in prison for each count, according to the minutes, and her sentencing is scheduled for May 10th. I believe it was bleach, wasn't it? Johnson's attorney, a county public defender, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The defendant's husband told investigators he, quote, believes she was trying to kill him to collect death benefits, according to a criminal report obtained last year by KVOA. The husband said he first noticed a foul taste in his coffee in March of 2023 while he was an airman stationed in Germany, the document says. The Johnsons were still living together with their child, but were going through a divorce. The husband told detectives he used pool testing strips to determine his coffee pot showed high levels of chlorine and set up hidden cameras that reportedly caught her pouring bleach, into a container and pouring the contents of said container into the coffee maker. The husband told investigators he pretended to continue drinking the coffee so he could wait until they returned to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson before filing a police report. It's strategic. That's strategic. So Melody had been charged in August with attempted first-degree murder, attempting to commit aggravated assault, and poisoning food or drink. That's the end of that article. That's terrible. That's just crazy. Just gonna, you know, like, was he abusive or something? You know, like, I try to give people the benefit of that. Why would you do that? What was going on? What was the tipping point that made you decide that this action is going to be okay? So I don't know. I need more information, but yeah, that's par for the course with me. Our next article comes from VT.co. Title reads, Mom Who Stabbed Partner and Pushed Kids Out of Car Reportedly Thought the World Was Ending with the Eclipse. Oh, we've got another eclipse one. Okay. A mother who murdered her partner and pushed her kids out of a car was reportedly an avid astrologist who believed that the eclipse meant that the world was ending. Danielle Johnson. That last name. A popular figure on social media who went by the name of Danielle Ayoka, spent the days before the April 8th eclipse warning her followers about the apparent impending apocalypse. As reported by the New York Post, Johnson told her followers to wake up and pick a side during her online rants before carrying out a murder-suicide in Los Angeles. In a tweet last week, she said, quote, all caps, no real punctuation, but one period. It says, wake up, the apocalypse is here, period. Everyone who has fears, listen, your time to choose what you believe is now. And then she continued, in all caps, if you believe a new world is possible for the people right now, there is power in choice. There is power in choice, 4 exclamation points. Repost to make the choice for the collective, end quote, the collective. A separate tweet said, quote, this is all, no, it's not all caps. She did not caps lock us in this one. This eclipse is the epitome of spiritual warfare. Get your protection on and your heart in the right place. The world is very obviously changing right now, and if you ever needed to pick a side, the time to do right in your life is now. Stay strong, you got this, end quote. So according to the Los Angeles Times, 3 days after posting these tweets, she murdered her partner and baby daughter before taking her own life. Oh my God. On Sunday, April 7th, she stabbed her boyfriend, Jalen Allen Cheney, in the chest while he was on the couch in their apartment before putting her 9-year-old and 8-month-old daughters into her car. And then it does show her tweet with the all caps and stuff. Anyway, and it says authorities stated that around 5 a.m., the mother of two threw her daughters out of the car onto a freeway with the 9-year-old clutching onto her baby sister. Horrible. The 9-year-old survived the fall and managed to escape traffic, but sadly, the 8-month-old lost her life during the incident. At around 5:30 a.m., Johnson was discovered deceased inside the crushed car that had been driven into a tree at around 100 miles per hour. What on earth made this woman glitch? What? It made her glitch. That's what I see this stuff as. Someone that wouldn't normally do this kind of stuff, and then out of nowhere, it's just like this explosion of insanity. Like, why? The police found Cheney's body when they investigated the apartment, also finding bloody footprints leading through an open door with black feathers and tarot cards littered around the home. It's believed that the 9-year-old daughter witnessed her mother stab Cheney during the horrific ordeal, and investigators, if the stupid pop-ups would just fucking stop, are currently trying to establish whether the 8-month-old was dead before she was thrown from the vehicle. Sources told the LA Times that Johnson, the girl, and Cheney had no history of domestic violence or any previous calls to the police, leading them to believe that this random attack was due to the self-described divine healer thinking that the eclipse meant that the world was about to end. And that's the end of that article. I just don't... you guys know I study this stuff, right? And I still, it's very hard to try to understand how anyone could harm a child, you know? And I understand, but I still just don't understand. It's just so inconceivable to me. Moving on. So our next one comes from foxnews.com. And the title reads, Natalie Holloway's killer, Joran Vandersloot, jumped by 2 inmates in Peru prison beatdown. So, holla! Joran Vandersloot, stupid last name, the Dutch national who brutally killed Alabama 18-year-old Natalie Holloway during her class trip to Aruba as a high school senior in 2005, has been pummeled in a remote Peruvian prison where he previously boasted of conjugal visits with multiple women. The 36-year-old murderer is locked up in Peru for the 2010 death of Stephanie Flores, the daughter of a Peruvian business magnate whom he killed in her father's casino 5 years to the day after Holloway's murder. To the day, guys. To the day. The motive of the attack is unclear, according to the New York Post, which first reported the beating, but 2 inmates jumped him in a prison common area before guards stepped in. Medics reportedly treated him for cuts and bruises and sent him back to the general population. My man. Vandersloot's lawyer blasted the claims. He's fine, he told Fox News Digital. It's fake news. The attorney has previously complained that prison officials have limited his communications with his client. Authorities did not immediately respond to a request for comment. A national prison spokesperson earlier told the Post, a lot of people want him dead. A former inmate who did time with Vandersloot during his brief detention in Alabama last year told the paper that the killer, who stands 6 feet 5 inches tall, damn, is an arrogant, quote, douchebag. He walks around jail like he's the boss, demands what he wants, treats other guys like S, hyphen, hyphen, hyphen. Emil told the paper, he made a lot of enemies because he's such an a-hole. A-dash-dash-hole. Vandersloot is serving time in Peru's mountaintop prison, a place... the attorney previously said he hates so much he was willing to talk to prosecutors in the U.S. in connection to federal extortion charges against him. And his attitude doesn't appear to be helping. I don't think he'll ever get out alive, his attorney said. All he really knows is prison, and I think he likes it. He'll either reoffend to stay in jail or he'll be killed by someone. I don't know if he even cares one way or the other. He probably doesn't. He's a bad man. So our next one comes from KCTV5.com. Title reads, 11-year-old girl found shot inside Kansas City home, dies at hospital. So coming out of Kansas City, Missouri, that's Missouri's my state. So, you know, I'll take the burns. You can go ahead. Go ahead. Police said an 11-year-old girl was found shot to death late Wednesday evening in Midtown, Kansas City. Investigators identified her as Courtney Freeman. She would have celebrated her 12th birthday next month. Just after 9:45 p.m., Kansas City police responded to a home at 33rd Street and Flora Avenue, just off the Paseo, on a shooting call. I've never seen that word. When they arrived, officers were led inside where they found Freeman. She'd been shot and was unresponsive. She was rushed to a nearby hospital where she was declared dead a short time later. Detectives said they were talking with people who were at the home when officers arrived and searching for any additional witnesses. This is the 40th homicide in Kansas City this year. This is April of 2024. We are like halfway through April, so 3.5 months in, there's already been 40 homicides in Kansas City, and the child's death marks the 6th young person killed in Kansas City this year, which is why I don't go up there. I mean, bless Kansas City for very small, specific things. So our next article comes from abcnews.go.com. Title reads, at least 2 dead in Austria avalanche, rescue operation underway. So the country of Austria. 2 other people buried in the snow have been rescued. So the story's coming out of London, but it's out of the country of Austria. At least 2 people were killed and 2 others were missing after being buried in a large avalanche at a ski resort in Austria on Thursday, authorities said. Emergency officials in Tyrol in Vent, Austria, reported that at least 4 people were buried in the avalanche. However, according to initial police estimates, 18 people have been affected, though these numbers have not been confirmed by local authorities. A massive search and rescue operation was immediately launched at a ski resort near the town of Solden in the Austrian Alps, officials said. At least 2 people were found dead. At least 2 others were unaccounted for, according to the authorities. The victims were apparently part of a ski touring group of the Netherlands that was skiing towards a mountain refuge with 4 Austrian guides, Reuters reported, citing a statement from the Tyrol State Police. This is a developing story, it says, and that I need to check back. And as I pull up my next article, it dawned on me that you guys might have been waiting for me to talk about this next one. Some of you probably were. But this is coming from people.com. I know I've heard some growls and grumbles about using people as a source. This part of my podcast is just for fun anyway, right? So coming out of people.com, title reads, O.J. Simpson, dead at 76 from cancer, family announces. So I'm going to give it a little disclaimer in the fact that bless his kids, right? Bless his children, however many he had, at least 2 with Nicole, possibly Khloe Kardashian, but you know, bless the kids regardless. So whatever I say or whatever slips out, no offense to them. They lost a parent. It's not our place, okay? Now we can get into it. So the football star was known more for his notorious murder trial than his exploits on the field. O.J. Simpson, arguably one of the most controversial figures in modern American history, has died at the age of 76. So now, what is the meme that I was putting in the Facebook group? It was like, now O.J. Simpson can rest knowing that her killer is dead. According to a statement from his family on X, formerly Twitter, the Hall of Fame football player, legendary broadcaster, self-deprecating actor, convicted felon, and accused, but ultimately acquitted, murderer died at 76 years old on April 10th following a cancer diagnosis. I didn't even know he had cancer. Quote, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, the post on Simpson's X account read. So yes, as I was saying, bless the kids, obviously, and the grandbabies. Once a celebrated personality heralded for his record-breaking contributions to college and professional football, Simpson's triumphs and exploits on the gridiron have long been overshadowed by his 1994 arrest for the slashing murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. And we don't need to get into, like, all of that, but the point is that all lines lead directly to him just brutally murdering his ex-wife and her friend because he was one of those husbands, right? He beat the shit out of his wife. He treated her like absolute hog snot. You know what I mean? It was bad. And she left him, whatever the situation was, and then he slit her throat so bad, even though he was acquitted. He slit her throat so bad that if you go look at crime scene photos, yes, go if you want to see. They're all over Google. You look at those, you can see, like, her spine. Like, he slit so thick that her neck is bent to a point, and he has sliced all the way through to where you can almost see bone. I'm not even joking. Absolutely horrific. Blood everywhere. Oh, my gosh. Really, 1992 through 1994, 95 was some very seriously cool court stuff. I was actually just old enough to appreciate all of that, so that's pretty cool. But the point is, and then it was like, oh, the glove doesn't fit. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. It was some stupid as shit. Oh my God. So that's all I'm going to say about him. Bless his kids, bless the grandkids, bless the family. You know, they didn't ask for that. Whatever. But may he burn. Moving on. We have kind of a goofy one here coming from WXII12.com. Title reads, video of woman looks for love with billboard ads. In a unique approach to finding companionship, Linda Howard, a California resident, is using billboards to advertise her availability. She said, I enjoy doing it. It's my hobby. Expensive one, but it's my hobby, she said. Howard previously put up holiday-themed billboards in December. These billboards listed her requirements for a potential companion and resulted in a few dates. So if you peel the layers back on that one, you might see why. Quote, they have to laugh and they have to have a sense of humor, and unfortunately it wasn't there, she explained. Now Howard is trying again with a new billboard. This one features a humorous theme and an updated list of requirements. It includes a picture of a chicken, reflecting her love for buying chickens, and an image of cans in a shopping cart, hinting at the comment at the bottom of the billboard. The billboard also features a fortune teller. Quote, I thought it was a cute picture, but really, I think God is in control of our lives, and we just know he has a plan for all of us. And I've been single for 34 years, so you'd think he'd be a little faster on this one. I just want a good friend to go and laugh with and send him home when I'm bored with him, and I get bored easily, she said. Oh, we're starting to tally up some tick marks and some check boxes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. One key requirement listed is that potential dates cannot be boring. Howard has also played matchmaker for her friends. Oh, fantastic. She has set them up with people who responded to her billboards but weren't a match for her. Quote, there's a lot of single people at our age that it's just hard to find somebody that's compatible. So I'm just trying. Hopefully, I will hook up some people for the summer to go out and enjoy life. Life is too short, and we all ought to have fun and meet new people in life, Howard stated. Well, I don't disagree with that part of it. Howard is open to responses from anyone. Her billboard includes a question for potential dates to answer. Quote, yeah, I would love to hear it, and we can share it with other people, and maybe we can someday have a group where we can all go to Billy Park and have a picnic and get to know each other, she said. Howard has plans for the future of her billboard campaign. A new one is set up to go. It's set up to go up in April. Well, we're in April, and now I'm completely invested in this woman's billboard journey. So I don't know where this is coming out of, but it looks like the article is on a South Carolina site. But anyway, so if any of you guys, you know what's going on with this, keep me informed. I'm invested. Okay, so our next article was sent to me by someone not from the U.S. or anything, and I really appreciate that. Again, you guys are rocking it, sending me articles, and we're getting some more international ones. It's so exciting to me. I want to know what else is going on. Quite frankly, I'm sick and freaking tired of the news in the United States. So send me what you got in other countries. I'm sick of my own country. I love my country. I'm just tired of the drama. This is coming from 9news.com.au. meaning Australia. It says six people killed, attacker shot dead in Bondi Junction shopping center stabbing attack. So police are working to formally identify a man believed to be in his 40s who was shot dead by police after multiple people were stabbed at Westfield Bondi Junction shopping center in Sydney's east. Six people have died, including a 38-year-old mother who, along with her 9-month-old baby, were among those injured in the incident. North South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb, or NSW, North South Wales, New South Wales, confirmed four other women and one man died at the scene in addition to the attacker. The mum died later in the hospital. Eight people were taken to hospitals around Sydney for treatment, including the 9-month-old child who has undergone surgery. Webb addressed the media on Saturday night, revealing police believe the attacks were random, not targeted, but are still investigating a possible motive. The commissioner added that police believe they know who the offender is, but are awaiting formal processes to be undertaken. I mean, you have to be a little responsible before you start name-dropping. I mean, we can, you know, that's a vibe. Quote, we know a little bit about this person, but we're waiting to confirm his identification. If, in fact, it is the person we think it is, we don't have fears for that person holding an ideation. In other words, that it's not a terrorism incident. Well, that's good. He is known to law enforcement, but we're waiting to identify him formally. Webb said if the man is to be formally identified as suspected, New South Wales Police, quote, are confident that there is no ongoing risk and we are dealing with one person who is now deceased. The shopping center will be closed for trade on Sunday and the crime scene will remain ongoing for several days. So there's a section that says how the situation unfolded. Okay. Police said a man walked into the center at about 3:10 p.m. before he returned 10 minutes later at 3:20 p.m. and just began stabbing people. Quote, it is clear that during that engagement he caused harm to those people we believe by stabbing them with a weapon he was carrying, NSW Police Assistant Commissioner Tony Cook said. Police rushed to the scene after they received multiple calls from members of the public. Video obtained by 9 News appears to show a man wearing a rugby league jersey holding a knife as shoppers flee. A female police officer was nearby at the time and was directed to the man by shoppers in the center. Quote, she confronted the offender who had moved by this stage to level 5 as she continued to walk quickly behind him to catch up with him, Cook said. What a brave bitch. That is some of that, like, badass bitch energy right there. Hell yeah. Let's see. She confronted... No, so the female police officer was nearby at the time and was directed to the man. No. So he turned. He faced her. She's walking up to him. She's catching up to him. Quote, he turned. He faced her. Raised a knife. She discharged a firearm. And that person is now deceased. Bravo. Bravo. This all happened very, very quickly. Well, yes, as things do. The officer was in the near vicinity, attended on her own, was guided to the location of the offender by the people who were in the center. And she took the actions that she did, saving a range of people's lives. Preliminary inquiries suggest the attacker acted alone and police are satisfied there is no continuing threat to the public. I do not have information in relation to the offender. I do not know who he is, Cook said. Quote, you would understand this is quite raw. Inquiries are very new and we are continuing to make attempts to identify the offender in this matter. Police, Cook said that the police were not ruling anything out in terms of a motive. See, now if this happened in the States, I would automatically say that meth was either directly or indirectly involved. But see, in Australia, I don't really know what they're... I should. This is why I beg you guys to send me stuff. I don't know enough about what's going on in the big cities of Australia if there's, like, drug problems and whatnot. So I don't know what to blame this on. Maybe it was, like, psychotic. I have no idea. Police have not confirmed the details of those killed or injured at this stage. You know, so trying to protect their privacy. Witnesses describe helping mother and baby. So two brothers have described how they helped a mother and her baby, both of whom had been stabbed. He had the ability to stab an infant in its mother's arms. Are you kidding me? The baby got stabbed, one of the men told Nine News. The mom got stabbed and the mom came over with the baby and threw it at me and I was holding the baby. Oh, wow. The man said he believed the baby would survive its injuries. That's good. The husband of one of the injured told Nine News he was relieved to see his wife at St. Vincent's Hospital. I would be relieved as well. She got punched and then she touched herself and there was blood. She thought she got punched. Then she touched the place and there was blood. But apart from that, she's okay. She's alive. That's all that matters. Earlier, a grocery shop worker at the center told Nine News he was let out of the shopping center just after 4:30 p.m. My girlfriend called me. She said that her mom works upstairs, level 3, and said, look, please be careful. There's a shooting. Well, it's not a shooting. It's a stabbing. But regardless, so I hope that, you know, everyone's okay over there and all that. Thanks for sending that article. Keep us abreast of what's going on. But at least he was taken down and he couldn't hurt anyone else. So that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, I'm going to spoil my babies. I'm going to spoil my children. We'll have one more, okay? This one was sent to me by a family member, though we obviously don't live over in this area, but it's kind of fresh. So it said, this is from foxnews.com, and the title says, 4 people arrested in connection to 2 missing Kansas women. While arrests were made Saturday, Veronica Butler, 27, and Jillian Kelly, 39, are still missing, according to OSBI. And these are 2 just beautiful ladies. So 4 people were taken into custody in connection to the disappearance of 2 Kansas women who were last seen driving through the Oklahoma Panhandle. The Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation confirmed to Fox News Digital, that is the OSBI. The OSBI confirmed on Saturday that 4 individuals were in custody. One was arrested in Texas County, while the other 3 were arrested in Cimarron County. The OSBI identified the suspects as 43-year-old Tad Burt Cullum, 54-year-old Tiffany Michelle Adams, that's a weird spelling, 50-year-old Cole Earl Twombly, and 44-year-old Cora Twombly. Officials said all 4 individuals were booked into the Texas County Jail on 2 counts of first-degree murder. 2 counts of first-degree murder. Wouldn't that mean that both girls are dead? 2 counts of kidnapping and 1 count of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. This is, I'm starting to put some pieces together. So while the arrests have been made, the women are still missing. Well, then how do they know? Veronica Butler, 27, and Jillian Kelly, 39, were last seen on March 30th, heading to pick up children before their car was found abandoned near the Oklahoma-Kansas border with foul play suspected. Heading to pick up children. The 2 ladies were together. They were going on to pick up kids. I'm just putting it all in my head. We are still telling everybody in the area that if you know anything or have any additional information, to please contact us. Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation Public Information Manager, try putting that on a business card, Hunter McKee told Fox News Digital on Thursday. McKee told Fox News Digital on Monday that, quote, it's becoming more and more challenging to find the women alive as the days mount with no signs of their whereabouts. A missing persons advisory from the Texas County Sheriff's Office said that Butler has several tattoos, a Chinese symbol on her left forearm, a sunflower on her left shoulder, and that Jillian has a butterfly tattoo on her left forearm. The alert describes Butler as being 5'4" tall with red hair and green eyes, last seen wearing a blue short-sleeved shirt and denim shorts. Kelly has brown hair and blue eyes and was last seen wearing a long sleeve shirt, blue jeans, and tan or beige shoes. Beige shoes, the alert adds. Ugh. See, and I don't read these ahead of time, you know, because I don't stumble over my reading. That's not me. Anyway, so come on. Word around the campfire is, so don't hold me to this. This is just a rumor that I heard, okay? All right. Word around the campfire is that it could have been related to picking children up from a visitation ending. You understand? And so that might explain the one conspiracy to commit murder, the one charge for that, because that would have been the pre-planning, not knowing another woman is with her. I don't know if that's the truth. I don't know. That's just the rumors I heard. So if I hear anything else or see anything else, I'll let you know. Oklahoma, I'm telling you, Oklahoma and Florida might as well just, like, you know, get married at this point. I love you guys in Florida. I'm just talking about Florida in general. Okay, so that's the end of the articles. I'm just going to catch you up on a couple things. I don't know if I said this in one of my previous podcasts, so I apologize if this is a repeat, but I had kind of put out a call to you guys, my peeps, my children, to write no more than just maybe a few paragraphs of maybe some childhood trauma that you went through. It doesn't have to be childhood trauma. Someone asked me if it had to be, so I want to make sure that it doesn't have to be childhood. I have had so many people submit stuff that I wanted to make sure that you guys understand that I have not forgotten this task. This is going to be sort of a thing for me. I think it's going to, I kind of have an idea of how I want to present this. And I'm trying to decide if I should read, like, I've read about 3 of them all the way through, and then the rest, because they've just been coming in. And, you know, I have a regular 9-to-5 and stuff, so I get busy and I hadn't read them. And then I thought, you know, because I don't read the articles before I do this podcast, I thought, well, why don't I just read these so I can have live reactions? And then maybe I can make this a video one. So then it's bordering, like, I don't want people to think I'm copying Soft White Underbelly, though. You get what I'm saying? So I'm trying to decide how I'm going to format this. So if you still want to submit your stories, I please do so. It will be 100% anonymous. I will absolutely not say who was what, where, when, and why, because that's just not how I am. That's not what I would do. So if you want to just kind of share some kind of trauma, I'm finding out that our little community here, that maybe we're a community for a little bit of a reason. Maybe that's part of why we love true crime so much. You know, we all seem to have experienced things. There's some commonality, maybe not in the specific experiences, but that there were these rather horrible experiences. And perhaps this is what has made the true crime community come together so much. So I appreciate the community regardless. So yeah, if you want to submit your stories, just email them to me. SerialKillingInstagram, all one word, @gmail.com is my preferred way. But you want to DM it or what have you, that's fine. So another weekend went by entirely too fast. But for the people that worked the weekend, thank you so much. Your sacrifice is appreciated. Everyone be nice to service workers, please. For me. Let's punch this week in the face and just get it over with. And maybe next weekend we'll all be able to actually relax. Right. All right. I love you guys. Bye.